Ramsey TV.
Let's get a good perspective on things concerning our anonymity in the world, concerning the strange treatment that sons and daughters of God get in this world, despite their royal status in God's eyes. Because if we don't have the right perspective, we are going to think that, well, God is done with us. He's ignoring us. We've lost favor in his eyes. I think many of us think, I know I think. I could never think that because I know that I know that I know what God thinks of me. I'm founded on the truths of justification by faith. And nothing can dissuade me of the facts of God's love and care. And I think that is true of almost everyone I'm talking to. Not everyone, but almost everyone. But for those occasional times that we wonder if we're going to make it to the end. When I say the end, I mean the beginning. The snatching away of the body of Christ. I have this to say to you. At the end of the book of Hebrews, at the end of chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, there is a list of really destitute saints. And I don't necessarily mean destitute in the ways of the world's prosperity or what the world thinks is prosperity. I'm going to take a little bit of license here to say that when you read that description, I don't have the scriptures out here with me, but the entirety of Hebrews 11 talks about those of faith, heroes of faith in Israel's history, who in spite of how everything looked, in spite of not seeing anything, because faith is an assurance concerning things which are not being observed, in spite of all that, these people held to the promise in spite of everything, in spite of everything they did see, and they had a unique perspective that I'm going to share with you today. And if you can wrap your head around this, everything's going to be better. Everything is going to be better. So we have these famous heroes of faith in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. But at the end of Hebrews, we are acquainted with a really ragged, pitiful, pathetic group of people. Those who are mistreated. Those who are wandering the earth in goatskins, in sheepskins, living in terrible places. They're being insulted. They're being actually physically harmed. They're being killed. They're being murdered. They're being flogged, then murdered. They are worse than the tail end of humanity, worse than the dregs of society. Even the Apostle Paul, who was a great man of faith, said that he and his fellow laborers were considered the off-scouring of all things. A modern way to put that would be like pond scum. You try to think of the worst of the worst. This is not what they were, of course, but this is how they were being considered by the world. And so this ragtag fugitive fleet, or this pitiful assemblage of misfits at the end of Hebrews chapter 11. Just when you think they couldn't be any more pitiful, it gets worse. But I want you to see how God looks at these people. And I know you're not living in a cave. You're not being sawn. You're not being flogged. You're not being killed by the sword. But some of you, and this is understandable, do this to yourself. You flog yourself. You saw yourself. You look at yourself as, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel so uncomfortable when I'm with other people? Why don't other people get me? So you see how I'm taking license here. Whereas in the last of Hebrews 11, we're looking at physical trials, people who are barely dressed, going through all these terrible physical trials. There's really not a worse trial than the inner nakedness we sometimes feel. And so here's the crowning phrase. Concerning these people, the statement is made, of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy? Any worldly, rational person would think the exact opposite, that these people weren't worthy of the world, that the world is progressing, the world is flying high in their own estimation of themselves. The world is sparkling. The world is accomplished. The world is moving on. And yet these people are so backwards, so pitiful, so looked down upon. It's easy to think, okay, yeah, they're not worthy of the world. But God's viewpoint is the world is not worthy of them. The world is not worthy of them. Concerning these people, Scripture says, and I quote, this is God talking, of whom the world was not worthy. This is such a startling perspective. It really is more startling than a sinner being justified or a person coming to understand, a believer coming to understand that God is at peace with them, or that someday they are going to be snatched away to glory with God. This is even more startling because this applies to you as you walk today in the world. And I tell you this, that it's the world that is not worthy of you. I don't think you can get a more stark, startling, contrastive statement, that is contrastive with our present experience, than that one. The world is not worthy to have these luminaries in their presence. Luminaries? Being afflicted, being homeless, being dragged through the mud, being killed. Yes, that's God's perspective. Our Lord said that these last days would be like the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah, so shall the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. And we are living in those days. What was the chief characteristic of those of the days of Noah? Our Lord spelled it out. They will be eating, drinking, and marrying. In other words, they will be carrying on, completely absorbed with the pride of life. The whole world seems to be living like teenagers live, like they're indestructible. Nothing can stop them. And yet in the days of Noah, those people were on the brink of doom and destruction. And there were only 8 people who were plugged into the divine truth that God was ready to judge the world. that the sins of the previous generation were coming upon one generation. That doesn't seem fair, but this is the way God does it. The sins of an entire generation, even those who had died before, were being visited via judgment on one generation. We are in a similar day when the sins, the atrocities of the last 2,000 years, and really beyond that, since the time that those eight people came out of the ark on Mount Ararat to enter a new world, the sins of those thousands of years are coming upon the world we are living in. And God is going to show what it is to be a lover of the world and an enemy of God. This is not to say, of course, that these people won't be saved eventually. We all know that. God is the Savior of all humanity. We know that. This is not to say that God is not still conciliated to the world. It seems startling to say that. It seems completely wrong, but it's right. It's just that God now employs, at the end of the 6,000 years of humanity, God employs a new way to bring people to the truth, and it's via judgment. It's via shock judgment. The flood of Noah was shock judgment. The tribulation, which we are on the brink of now, is shock judgment. And I feel like you feel many times, many days. I get in a group of people. I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to be jolly. I'm supposed to be laughing along with everyone. And yet somehow, I don't fit in. You don't fit in. Because nobody cares about God. Hardly anybody cares about God. Even the people who claim to care about God are the religious people. We know that they worship a false God and a false Christ. They're confident in themselves. And if we're not surrounded by worldly people, we're surrounded by religious people. And the pain is the same when you don't fit in. So it's not just the days of Noah I'm thinking of right now. It's the people of the days of Noah. Those who were living their lives like there's going to be a tomorrow and a tomorrow and another tomorrow. Well, there's not going to be a tomorrow and another tomorrow. Because the day is coming and will soon be here when this eon is going to come to an end. And in the meantime, here's us, knowing the truth, surrounded by the doomed. Isn't it weird to be surrounded by people who are completely oblivious to the truths of God, ultimately through no fault of their own, but nevertheless, and completely ignorant of the coming judgment? And we live among them, just like Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. Eight people had to look people in the eye every day whom they knew were doomed. And yet to not feel guilty about it. It's not their fault God chose them and did not choose anyone else at this time. It's not our fault that God has chosen us and no one else at this time. I have posited in the recent past that there are possibly only 900 members of the body of Christ alive on the earth today. Geez, that's a lot of people compared to eight. Just when you think, Martin, wow, that's not many people. Well, it's a lot of people compared to eight, isn't it? But besides the justification, that is, that God looks upon you as righteous, besides that God has designated you beforehand for the place of a son and a daughter, besides the fact that you have an early salvation coming, that you will be vivified and glorified before the mass, vast majority of the rest of humanity. Besides all that, if that's not enough, I want you to think of this, that the world is not worthy to have you in their presence. Eating, drinking, living for tomorrow. But there's not going to be a tomorrow. And the entire creation is groaning until now, yet we ourselves also groan. But these groaning people that we're surrounded with, of many things, they're oblivious, but of one thing for certain, that their deliverance, their ultimate deliverance, depends on us, depends on the manifestation of the sons of God. Because only when we are changed, vivified, manifested before the throne of God, only then can the reconciliation of the entire world to take place. Maybe this is part of the reason why the world is not worthy of us, because we're the ones carrying their future. We're carrying their future. Those afflicted saints at the end of Hebrews 11, they're carrying the future of the rest of Israel. Peter and John, when they were flogged in the synagogue, they were carrying the future of the rest of Israel. They were to be the first fruits of the rest of Israel, and yet they were being afflicted, literally beaten, and they were killed, in the case of Peter, eventually killed, crucified upside down, tradition has it. A man crucified upside down, of him the world was not worthy. That's the way God looks at it, and that's the way I want us to look at it.